Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final, and the results are good as the Brewers take game two of this three-game set. A huge victory for the Crew to get the series back to even and a chance to go after the series clincher tomorrow. Welcome, everybody. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen alongside Evan Heffelfinger. Yes, that is his name. And a Brewers 5-4 victory tonight. A back-and-forth affair. And I will say this, that you know the Miami Marlins play a brand and style of baseball that I can definitely respect. They'll do the hit and run, and they're going to steal bases, and they're going to ambush, and they're going to do all sorts of get them on, get them over, get them in. All sorts of things that, well, we're not used to lately in the game of baseball. But the biggest thing, the Brewers get the victory. They're 14-9, and they, again, have a chance to win yet another series here in the 2021 campaign as Adrian Hauser, well, I don't know which was better, 5 2/3 and three runs given up, or the solo home run he hit to get the Brewers on the board and tie a ball game up. You can see how in this one, how much Craig Counsell wanted this game, was not holding back. He was going to Brent Suter, JP Feireisen, Devin Williams, and Josh Hader. That's that. We'll deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow we should get an announcement here shortly as to who's going to start that game tomorrow and how they're going to handle the pitching staff tomorrow. The speculation was that Brent Suter was going to possibly give it a go to start, but he was in the ball game tonight. Didn't pitch all that great. His line, one inning, couple of hits, a walk, and a run given up. So that about runs that out. And I would surmise, maybe more so than a bullpen game, bringing someone up to start a baseball game tomorrow. We'll see. We'll get to that in a bit. Want to get your reaction here after the Brewers 5-4 victory. Yet again, the Brewers five games over 500 at 14-9, and they just just finding ways to get this thing done. As Tyrone Taylor really had a nice night. And Tyrone Taylor is making a case that, you know, when everyone gets healthy, would you send him down? Would you literally, we'll check out some of his numbers here, 3-for-4 tonight, 3 RBIs, a home run. Would you have the wherewithal to send him down when Lorenzo Cain comes back, when Christian Yelich comes back, when these guys get to full health in terms of the position player group? I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that with the likes of Jackie Bradley Jr. and Avisail Garcia doing their thing, but the choice might be Billy McKinney or Tyrone Taylor. Taylor is making a case to stay on this team. He's just really, his at-bats are outstanding right now. And it's a godsend. And how about the call for Craig Counsell on leading off Tyrone Taylor. That had a lot to do with this as well, and it's a move that probably is going to fly under the radar a little bit. Colton Wong gets the day off today. Lefty on lefty, and I think this was probably the plan. Once he was activated, play the full series in Chicago, play game one against the first left-hander that the Miami Marlins threw at him, and then sit game two, and it worked out. Craig Counsell, he's pulling the right strings is what he's doing. The day started out, we'll get to our game recap. Day started out with some roster moves. Daniel Robertson was placed on the 7-day concussion protocol. Manny Pena, 10-day IL with the busted big toe. Christian Yelich obviously has the back. Lorenzo Cain with the quad. Luke Maley called up. Backup catcher Corey Ray called up. Bickford sent down. And Patrick Weigel called up as well. Just a flurry of roster moves prior to the game today. As Patrick Weigel, now in a Brewers uniform, he was one of the relievers acquired in the Orlando Arcia deal just a few weeks ago. Let's get into our game recap here. First inning, infield single. Urias takes a little bit too much time on Chisholm. I tell you, that kid can fly. It doesn't matter if it's two hops or one hop. You need to be really quick to get him, and Urias was not. It allowed him to get on base, infield single. He steals immediately second base. Marlins then playing for a run right there. They do square to bunt later on in the sequence. It was a ground ball to the right side, moved him over. Get him on, steal, get him over. And Jesus Aguilar, get him in. He had a sac fly, one zip against Hauser in that first inning as the Marlins take the lead early. Brewers, base runners in their half of the first inning. Tyrone Taylor, a leadoff base hit. After a deeper flyout by Omar Narvaez, Avisail Garcia snaps an 0-for-22 skid with a base hit. Keston Hira moves Taylor to third, first and third with the two outs for Travis Shaw. He draws a walk to load him up for Luis Urias, and he flies out to shallow left to end that threat in the first inning. One zip Marlins into the second inning. Hauser, a leadoff walk allowed, but he works around there that to put up a zero in that second inning. Brewers hit the pay window, bottom of the second inning, after a flyout and a ground out to Bradley and Reyes, respectively. How about Adrian Hauser with a bat in his hand?
If the numbers are consistent,
yeah.
Hauser to deep center. Did he get enough? Duvall back. Adrian Hauser, a pitcher bomb.
Man, oh man, noise at the end, and Adrian Hauser helps himself. Solo shot ties up the ball game. And who's on the top step over there in the dugout? Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, there it was, a game-tying solo home run. A few pitches later, how about the Brewers' leadoff hitter tonight, Tyrone Taylor?
0-2 to Taylor. That's to deep center. Back-to-back for the Brewers. Off the scoreboard for Tyrone Taylor.
That was Monday night. The Marlins making a lot of...
That's a highlight on Bally Sports Wisconsin. That's what I'm saying about Tyrone Taylor. First of all, he needs more playing time, as much as you can right now. Secondly, the Brewers might be faced with a very difficult decision if Tyrone Taylor continues to do what he's doing. His at-bats, even his outs, are just good approaches, and he has worked his tail off to get in this situation. Brewers in the lead, 2-1. Omar Narvaez then doubles, but Garcia grounds out to end the frame. 2-1 Brewers into the third inning. Hauser needs a shutdown inning after the Brewers take the lead, and he gets it. However, it was a leadoff base hit. Works around that with a couple of strikeouts. Bottom of the third, Brewers up by one. 1-2-3 for the crew as the game moves into the fourth inning. Marlins get it back even. Jesus Aguilar, a solo home run. He's got both RBIs to that point. Hauser does bounce back, a comebacker, a couple of strikeouts to keep the damage just at the one-run score. 2-2, bottom of the fourth inning. Brewers trying to answer in the bottom of the fourth. Leadoff hit by pitch by JBJ. Pablo Reyes then with a base hit, his first in a Brewers uniform, sets the table with nobody out. Adrian Hauser then with a successful sacrifice bunt. How about that? One out, second and third for Tyrone Taylor as Mattingly goes to his pen. And Tyrone comes through, a ground ball on the infield, scores the Brewers' third run.
Ground ball right to the shortstop. Rojas thought about home, instead gets the sure out at first. Brewers take the lead on the RBI ground out by Tyrone Taylor.
Oh, yeah, kid getting it done. That's what the Brewers get there, just the one run. They're up 1-3-2 again. Marlins back at it again in the fifth inning. Couple of base hits to put runners at the corners to start that frame. They allow the reliever, Curtis, to have a plate appearance right there. He attempts a bunt and strikes out. So you're thinking a chance to get out of it, first and third, just the one out. But a wild pitch allows the runner to score from third. Tie game at 3, then a screamer back to Hauser for the second out, and then a fly ball. Minimizes the damage once again. But game retied, 3-3, bottom 5, and the Brewers battling tonight. Bottom of the fifth inning, after Avi strikes out, Keston Hira with a triple. Travis Shaw, man on third, less than two out, got to get that ball in play, and he strikes out. I don't believe in that sequence right there, guys. I don't think Travis Shaw even swung the bat. I know he had a check swing in there, but I don't believe it's tough to get a ball in play, Travis, when you're not swinging the baseball bat. However, Luis Urias does not let him off the hook. Two strike, two out, double.
Fly ball right field. Cooper back. It's over his head. Up against the wall. Urias delivers with a run scoring double. And Urias waits him out, gets the elevated fastball.
Yeah, big time for Luis Urias, as you heard on Valley Sports Wisconsin there. Brewers take the lead 4-3. Brewers pitching a scoreless sixth inning, trying to hold it, starting to get a little bit late here. You're starting to eyeball your guns at the back end of that bullpen. And Adrian Hauser, this was an interesting move for Craig Counsell, and quite frankly, I was surprised by this. Top of the sixth inning, Adrian Hauser going back out there with 80 pitches on his ledger to that point. Now, I know it's getting near the end for Adrian. Here's what happened. He strikes out Zeus on 3 pitches, strikes out Garrett Cooper on 4 pitches, and was feeling it. His rhythm and tempo were as good as it's been all night long. And he just couldn't, Counsell could not help himself. He had to go to his pen, lifting Adrian Hauser, 5 2/3, 7 strikeouts, 5 hits, and 3 runs. Suter enters the game, walks the man right there, and I'm ready to get at him. I mean, right there, I would have let Hauser, face, I think it was Dickerson at that time, drew the walk. But then he takes the next man full. That was Duvall. And he finally strikes him out. So, I mean, it didn't hurt too much. But Hauser, I don't think, was going to be denied in that sixth inning. But Craig Counsell's the manager, and he gets paid to make those decisions. Brewers insurance in the sixth inning. Pablo Reyes reaches on an error. Vogelbach then in on the double switch for Keston Hira. A fielder's choice, moving Reyes over to second with one out. Well, it brought up once again the hot-hitting Tyrone Taylor.
Base hit off the bottom of the bat. This one flipped into shallow right. That is down for a base hit. Reyes around third. He's going to score. Taylor trying for two. He's going to get caught in a rundown, tagged out by Miguel Rojas. But Reyes scored in plenty of time on a run-scoring single by Tyrone Taylor.
3 for 4 with 3 RBIs as the Brewers take a 5-3 lead into the 7th inning. Suter, going to open up that 7th inning, gives up a home run right there. Marlins just will not go away. 5-4. One out later, Lewis Brinson, the former Brewer, a base hit. Then he gets a strikeout, Suter does. Council goes to his pen right there. He's seen enough of Brent Suter, the one inning on his ledger, and a couple of hits, a walk, and a run given up. Brewers a one-run lead, hanging on right there. He goes to get just a guy that's having an amazing season and a guy that is having a season that the Brewers really, really needed in that bullpen. J.P. Fireisen, two out with one on. Fireisen comes in to get a big strikeout to end the inning. Brewers trying to hang on, 5-4. Let's see if they can get insurance in this one. Nope, not in the bottom of the seventh inning. This is a two-out base hit by Travis Shaw. A 1-2 count to Urias. This I found was puzzling here. A 1-2 count to Urias. With two outs in that bottom of the seventh inning, Travis Shaw. That's Travis Shaw. You know, the guy that runs with like a refrigerator on his back. A 1-2 count, and Shaw was moving on the pitch. Urias takes it for strike three, and I'm just wondering right there whether or not that maybe there was a sign that was missed. Were they going to go hit and run right there? Well, I mean, maybe Travis got a big jump. I just found that interesting. Urias did strike out. 5-4 into the eighth inning. Devin Williams coming on. Devin goes through the heart of the Marlins order here. Aguilar with a ground out. Strikeout to Garrett Cooper. Walks Dickerson with two outs. He's got to face Duvall, and he strikes him out. Big-time outing again for Devin Williams. Things getting a lot better for Devin here as of late. JVJ gets hit by a pitch leading off the bottom of the eighth inning, caught stealing. Brewers empty in the eighth to the ninth. Josh Hader, and yeah, it's a lockdown, a fifth Hader save, and a Brewers victory in game two of this three-game set. 5-4, the final, 14-9 here. Early on yet on the 2021 championship season, 7-9-9-12-50. We took a look at some of these power rankings a little bit. The Brewers, according to ESPN's power ranking, were eighth last week. Now, again, you have to take some of this with a grain of salt. This was the beginning of last week. They go to eighth. And then you would assume after sweeping the Padres, taking 2 of 3 against the Chicago Cubs, the 5-1 road trip, that they would move up. Now, moving over to the Athletic, they do a little bit of a power ranking as well. And up to fifth are the Milwaukee Brewers. Are you buying that? Fifth for the Brewers here in all of baseball. Pretty impressive thus far at a 14-9 clip. We'll take a break, come back, going to hear from Craig Council, Adrian Hauser, and more. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway here on The Fan.
The game's over, and Tim Allen is taking your calls now on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on The Fan. Dial them up now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
5-4 final. I don't know how they're getting this thing done. Almost seemingly more impressive on a nightly basis here. That they're just winning these games, winning series. I've only lost two series all season long. And now here you go again. They've got a chance to win the series tomorrow. And I have to ask the question, how are they doing this with this kind of offense? Finding a way. Now, I'm pleased about it, don't get me wrong. Because what it shows is that your offense isn't playing the best, yet you're still winning baseball games. And a lot of that, obviously, is the pitching. But you're still having to score runs to win baseball games. But the mark of a good to great team is that when you're not playing so well, you still win your games, your fair share of games at the very least. But I'm pretty impressed with this, that they're somehow, some way, finding ways to get this thing done. 799-1250. You explain to me how they're getting this thing done. They're 14-9 right now, guys. Now, we'll take a look at some of these power rankings, these polls, and the Brewers are ranked pretty good. They're getting some respect now. There's no question about that, and they should. However, we watch every day. We watch every inning. We take a look at certain at-bats, less than two outs, runners at second and third, table set. How about no outs in second and third, table set, and just it's seemingly more times than not, they come up empty. But yet when it's a clutch situation, of the unlikeliest guys, Jace Peterson in San Diego, Luis Urias in Chicago, Tyrone Taylor now here against Miami and Chicago, Billy McKinney on the road trip. I mean, they're doing enough until they get their guys back, and namely Yelich and Kane. They need those guys back, and I'll tell you why. It's not just for their production to be back in that batting order. It's number one, it's their presence, both Yelich and Kane. But now it takes the pressure off these guys that did not assume that they were going to be your 3, 4, and 5 hitters in Garcia, Keston Hira, and Travis Shaw. On a regular basis, these numbers are just pretty, I don't even know what word to use. I'm trying to stay as positive as I can on those numbers. But yet they're winning games with this. So you explain to me how they're doing this. 799-1250. So we take a look at some of these power polls, if you will. And Evan Heffelfinger is going to join me here. Evan, we took a ponder at some of these things during the break here.
Right.
And we find these guys, I mean, some of these platforms have them at as high as third in all of baseball.
Yeah. After the past couple weeks that this offense has had, yeah. And none... We went to what, maybe 10 or 15 different power rankings. The only one that had them not in the top 10 was sportsnaut.com, which okay. I might be the first visitor they've ever had on their website.
I think there's obvious room for improvement. We're all well aware of that offensively. We all know this. And to rank them third at this point, boy, when they get healthy and their offense gets rolling, they're just going to be first, and they'll overtake the Dodgers then, if that's the case. San Diego, after getting swept by the Brewers, they really didn't budge from the 2 or 3 spot. It didn't matter to them. But, you know, 11th is the lowest, as Evan said. We see a 10, we see an 8, we see a 7. There's a couple 5s, and there's a couple 3s. It's pretty impressive from that standpoint, that there's some respect nationally, which is what I really wanted the past 10 days or so. And finally, you're seeing some of the guys, MLB Network, really, really kind of spotlighting this organization here now. But when we see this offense do what they're doing and just doing enough, I just throw my hands up and say, I'm happy at the same time. I'm frustrated with it, too, because table gets set. Every other inning, they're ready to roll. They're ready for the big number, and it just doesn't happen. But they're 14-9. But they've got a starting rotation, which is outstanding. All right, so we're going to hear from Craig Counsell in just a couple of minutes here. Evan, you're saying all indications say that they have not announced a starting pitcher for tomorrow?
No, they did just a couple of minutes ago. Breaking news, and of course, breaking news on The Fan is powered by Audacity.com Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Timmy, remember last time I did this show with you, we were talking about guys who may fill in?
Yeah.
There was 3 guys that we came up with. Jordan Zimmermann, Eric Lauer, and Zach Godley.
That's right.
It is Zach Godley.
It is Zach Godley.
Which means
okay.
because they added Pablo Reyes to the 40-man roster, they're going to have to make a roster move for this. They're going to have to take someone off the 40-man roster.
Yeah, and I would suspect it'll be Corey Ray. Would be my guess.
Already?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they just called him up, though, too. He's up with the team
today.
Right now.
Yeah, today. And he's one of the taxi squad guys, so he's not going to go far. But I think they just needed him in case this was some extended marathon or something. So Zach Godley, former Diamondback, right? Diamondback and maybe Marlin?
Yeah, he was a Diamondback starting pitcher for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's going to get his first start in the Brewers unit. Hey, you never know. Special seasons, special stories. But Tyrone Taylor, what are they going to do with this kid? I mean, he's playing to the point, and we'll look at his numbers here in just a second. He's playing to the point where you simply cannot send him back down. Cain Yelich get healthy. And you're looking at Garcia, Bradley, McKinney. And everybody loves Billy McKinney, right? My goodness, you can't send him down. But you're not going to go with six outfielders. I don't think they would go with six outfielders. So would you have the nuts to send Tyrone Taylor down, Evan? Would you send him down?
If he's playing as well as he's playing right now, absolutely not. How can you?
You can't. Right. You can't. So what does it mean for Billy McKinney? Do we find another mystery injury with a back issue somewhere with JBJ or Garcia? I mean, going to be interesting. And that's, believe me, it's a good problem to have. And that's exactly what Craig Counsell would tell you. It's a great problem to have. Tyrone Taylor's numbers here thus far this season. Now, let's keep in mind he did have a nice spring. He just looked different. He looked more mature, both in terms of himself and his baseball. What are his current numbers after a three-hit game and three knocked in?
Really, really good. He's hitting .474.
Mm-hmm.
On base 56% of the time, a 1460 OPS, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs in just 19 at-bats.
So on base at 560 and hitting over .400 here. I know it's a short sample size, but when you have – now let's compare it. Let's compare it to Avi Garcia's numbers. And JBJ's numbers. Because those are the two guys that, I mean, first of all, they both need to step up. I think they will, and we talked about that last night. Some of these guys are going to step up. But when Yelly and Kane get back, if they don't by then, and this continues with Tyrone Taylor, I think you're probably forced to play him. The guy is squaring up just about every at-bat. He's like Omar right now. They are so locked in. It's tough to sit those guys. So let's take a look at Avi Garcia's numbers here. Did break an extended hitless streak here tonight, so that was a good sign. Was working with Andy Haynes prior to the game today with some extra sessions and did come up with the base hit, but what are his current numbers?
In 76 at-bats, he has a .197 average, on base .271, an OPS of .613, 3 homers, 10 RBIs.
Okay, let's go over to JBJ on the year.
A little bit worse. In 80 at-bats, a .190 average, on base .256, OPS of .560, 1 home run and just 2 RBIs on the season.
I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm not sure what to tell you guys. All I know is Tyrone Taylor is doing it. Let's go to Billy McKinney because he's making a little case too. And believe me, these are good problems to have. They really are. When you have guys in multiples, this assuming Yelich and Kane come back in a relatively short amount of time here. But Billy McKinney has been known to step up and do the job both defensively and with the bat.
Yeah, in 54 at-bats, he's hitting .241, not much better with the OPS, .255, a .718 OPS, 3 homers, 5 RBIs.
Yeah, and the on-base percentage is quite disturbing with a number of these players. But yeah, Billy McKinney starting to come back down to earth here a little bit. As you just heard, a .255 on base, .241 batting average. So it's just, I don't know, it might be, first of all, it's the year of the injury. I know that. We can tell that. There's been more injuries here in the first 23 games than we've seen in a long time to start a season.
I think they said on the broadcast on Bally Sports tonight, it was 12 players that have been on the IR already this year.
Yeah, and clearly that's been more than we are used to. The Brewers have been skirting kind of the crowded injury list for a few years now. And they've had their bumps in the road, and you're going to have some injuries, but not like this. This one, they're getting them all. Hopefully they're all getting stacked in here early, and you can get healthy and get on a good run. 799-1250, Tyrone Taylor, what do you do with him? Also, how are the Brewers doing this at 14-9? It's fun. It's a nail-biter, and it's a playoff game every night. This game was a good game. This was a classic example of, you know, sort of that playoff kind of vibe. And I know it's the Marlins. There's two playoff teams, by the way. Incidentally, I think people forget that. I think people forget that both these organizations were in the postseason last year. But it's that vibe here that it's so close almost every night. Three out of every four games this year have been just to the nail-biting kind of atmosphere. And that's, to me, that's a good sign, but it also is a sign that says, hey, your offense isn't running away with their fair share of the games. They've had a couple that get loose on them. You know, 6-0 over the Cubs over the weekend. You did have a few that you just kind of just ran away a little bit. But for the most part, three of every four games here, guys, have just been just nail-biting back and forth or just, you know, living on the edge type of games. It can do nothing but help this team as it moves forward. But the offense going to have to run away with a couple here and there. Cappella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. A 5-4 Brewers win. They get the series back even. Council wanted this game. We mentioned it yesterday. I heard a Craig Council last night during his postgame that to my ears, this is just me, he was not pleased with an 8-0 defeat yesterday. And I don't expect him to be happy about him, but it seemed to be a little bit more so than just your runaway game that got away from you. And you could tell by the way he managed this game here that he wanted to bounce back something fierce. He wanted this game. So did I. It was a huge, huge game. Make no mistake about it. Late April to get the series back to even and take a pop at stealing another. And I shouldn't use steal. I think that gives an inferiority kind of feel to this baseball team. It puts you in the driver's seat. How about that? It gives you an opportunity to take another series. A huge win tonight. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
You may not think this was a big win. If you're in that category, I disagree. I think it's a huge win, and I think these are monumental wins when you're given the opportunity to take another series. They get it done tonight, 5-4 the final. And again, I have a lot of respect for the brand and style of baseball that the Miami Marlins play. It's probably more suited to my liking than the Brewers' style and brand of play. I mean, these guys get the bat, get the ball in play, get the bat on the ball. Let's not be afraid to sacrifice. Let's not be afraid to protect on a bunt. Let's not be afraid to bunt. Let's not be afraid to hit and run, straight steal. All of those things come into play here. I just like the style. I really do. And it might be a little bit more of an old school style, but have a lot of respect for the Miami Marlins. I do. I think they've got a group of players that, you know, if things drop right for them, I think they could be a lot better than people think, even better than people think. Again, everything they went through last year, they ended up in the postseason, and that's impressive. Zach Godley is going to start for the Brewers tomorrow, and you're probably saying, who the hell is this? Where did he come from? Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's check out some of the numbers that he has had in the bigs. He's a guy they signed to a minor league deal, about 3 months ago or so? Well, Evan, let's pull up some of those numbers.
Yeah, he has a career 4.86 ERA in 136 career games, 88 of those starts. His best season as a pro came in 2017. In 26 games, 25 starts, he had a 3.37 ERA for the Diamondbacks in 155 innings. The next year, he pitched all 33 games that a starter normally would, but had a 4.74 ERA, led the league in hit-by-pitches and wild pitches. But for his career, averages almost a strikeout per inning, but a 4.86 ERA, and at 31 isn't really a prospect anymore.
No,
but
not at all.
He's shown that he can be a productive pitcher.
Yeah, and he's proven it before, but I would say it's a little bit reminiscent, and I hope things turn out a little bit different, but I think it's reminiscent to almost a carbon copy of a Shelby Miller type that had enjoyed some pretty decent success, and then just things just rapidly declined after that. Well, they're hoping that he can step up and get a start in that's at least a quality start. I don't know if that might be too much to ask for. Six innings of three runs or less. It's a good goal. It's something to shoot for there, but we'll see. Zach Godley going to get the start for the Brewers. And then keep this in mind also that I would say the Brewers are within a month or so of going to a six-man rotation. So if Godley does work out, I mean, there's your sixth man pending the IL stint for Brett Anderson. And if that's going to be an extended thing, well, then they're still going to be a pitcher short if indeed they are going with the sixth man with the injuries. I tell you, if there were no injuries, the six-man rotation would have started maybe in a week or 10 days. But with the injury, they may have to just hold off on that a little bit. But we'll see. Six-man rotation to alleviate some of these innings from the hike from last year to this year. So a lot of moving parts here for the Brewers, and they're handling and managing quite well considering the situation with, number one, all the injuries, and number two, the offense really struggling with some of the numbers. They are. I wish this offense were better. They're just not. They're not a good offense right now. And I wish I didn't have to say that. They're winning games. That doesn't mean winning games is synonymous with a good offense. Because I don't think you can put the term good on this offense right now. Good enough, maybe. That might be a little more appropriate. But this offense is driving me crazy. And these numbers seemingly aren't changing. They're doing just enough, and we'll take it because they're winning games. It's a good sign overall, because you would assume that the numbers are going to rise as the season gets a little more chunk into it. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell and his comments after the Brewers take game two of this three-game set, series even at a game apiece.
Craig, where was Hauser on your list of candidates among your pitching staff to be the first to homer?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, he has power. He's always shown power. So he's in the top three for sure. He took a great swing and that ball exploded off the bat. It was a no doubter. And then the great part was just seeing how fired up Adrian was. He's pretty low key most of the time, but he was as fired up as I've seen him coming in the dugout.
He said he had a hard time just calming down after that, Craig. Were you happy to see just him collect himself and pitch his way the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, there's always – you're right. I mean, I remember that with when Woody hit that home run, it was trying to calm down was the issue. And there's – you know, there being two outs there, it helped the Tyrone fouled up with something to give him a little more time. But that's sometimes hard to do after a moment like that.
Craig, what did you like about Tyrone as a leadoff hitter going into the game? Just, you know, good skill set, puts the bat on the ball, that kind of thing?
Well, it was really just about getting Tyrone a bunch of at-bats and facing a lefty and having him, get as many at-bats as he could off him. In the end, I think he had a couple good at-bats, and they ended up, we ended up getting the starter out of there after two times through the lineup. But He's been having really good at bats and just wanted to get a bunch of at bats, really.
Craig, he seems to be one of those guys that whatever you ask of him, he does something positive, doesn't he?
He's since day one, in the JP Fireheisen category since he showed up for camp, it's been all good. He's done a lot of good things. Another guy who had a fabulous offseason, stronger, more explosive, and it's showing up for sure. And the other thing with Tyrone is it's been a process for Tyrone about, he's been at the kind of cusp for a little while here. He's been up and down quite a few times, but he's always taken, the message kind of in the right way and continued to understand he's got to get a little bit better and improve and find ways to improve. And when you keep doing that for a talented guy like Tyrone, this is what starts to show up on a regular basis as after some maturity and some experience and some age and getting more opportunities.
Craig, back to what about for a minute, is this we asked you so many times after starts last year he wasn't pitching that well, at least the ERA said he wasn't pitching that well. Just how do you think he's done so far this year? It seems a lot steadier.
I think that's accurate. And I think it's just understanding who he is. It's kind of taking the tough moments and getting past them, getting right on to the next moment. I think he's done a really good job with that. Again, it's being out there every 5 days or 6 days and understanding what a starting pitcher has to do. I think he's got some great examples around him right now of how guys can continue to get better and continue to improve. And he's following right along.
Hey, Craig, the strikeouts for him were a bit up today too. I know he also got, a bunch of soft contact as usual, but was that just a product of maybe being on the attack a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just some good two-strike pitches he made tonight. I thought he made some real quality two-strike pitches. He got a couple just at the right, in the right spots, the right sequence. So he set up hitters very well. I mean, Omar did a nice job tonight. So more just a product of that for me.
Craig, it's five times now that you've dropped the first game of a series but come back and won the second one. Is there anything to that about a team just being able to turn the page and move on to the next day?
I wouldn't read too much into that. I don't want to drop the first game. I don't think we all want to drop the first game of the series, but we're playing, solid. I don't think we're clicking on all cylinders, but we're doing – we're finding ways to win games. And I think that's a great quality and a great sign. And tonight was, you know, never felt comfortable tonight, and we had to battle to the end. And our bullpen ended up, I think, doing a really nice job of getting it done. And we had enough runs on the board. That last insurance run with that little squibber by Tyrone turned out to be pretty big.
Craig, are you in position to share tomorrow's starter with us yet?
Yeah, tomorrow's starter is going to be Zach Godley.
Craig, was tonight a night where you wanted to find one batter for Fires? Because I know you've been worried about his load management, as they like to call it in the NBA.
No, it was just a game situation. Nothing. Just the way the game was working, where our lineup was at. Frankly, I was trying to stay away from JP tonight, but I just thought that situation. I really didn't want Aguilar to hit in that inning. I think was the big thing.
Craig, can you tell us a little about Godley, because we didn't see him in spring training? Unless I'm forgetting, we did see him.
Well, he's, you know, we signed him late in we signed him during camp. So he was a little bit late going in spring training, and just kind of as we were leaving, getting started really. He probably pitched once or twice in Arizona. In some of the simulated games or other games, but he's gotten stretched out really good. And so he's, got, bulk underneath him, and he's ready to go for that.
Since we talked to you this afternoon, Robertson went on the IL with that concussion thing. Was that something you kind of saw coming, or did he have a little bit of a setback?
Well, we just followed a progression, and yesterday we took the complete day off and just let him, we sent him home. Today he came in, he was feeling a little bit better. When we tried to increase activity, we recreated some symptoms, and so that's just a sign that we had to stop, and that meant IL.
He became 12th guy on the IL currently, and there's been two others that have been on and come off. It's just pretty amazing what your guys are doing under those circumstances, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're being tested, and we're having more roster conversations than we'd prefer to have, but guys keep stepping up. Pablo Reyes contributed to a win today. So we just got to kind of keep that mentality of stepping up. And as we, we're going to get healthier. I'm pretty confident in that. Nothing that's going on right now, I don't think, is like, lengthy. So we're going to get players back within the next, week to 2 weeks, I think. But guys are going to get opportunities, and guys are going to have to keep stepping up. I mean, Sam's going to be said in the bullpen. We're going to, as we get kind of deep into this stretch here, we're going to need other pitchers to step up, and we're going to have to use other guys in big spots.
There he is, Craig Counsell, as the Brewers get the 5-4 victory, game two of this three-game set. Yeah, a couple of things there. Maybe we'll break that down after the break here, because I agree with just about everything he said there. Not clicking on all cylinders. And that's the discussion we had to start the show here. It's a really good sign, if not a great sign, that you're winning baseball games and not clicking all the way. It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 5-4 final. Brewers get the win. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free, plus no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
5-4 final. Brewers take game two of this three-game set. They go after the series tomorrow, a 12:40 first pitch.
And it's Zach Godley on the hill for the Crew. Yes. Yeah, you heard right. No, not an Eric Lauer. Zach Godley. No, not a Jordan Zimmerman. Uh-uh. It's Zach Godley. And, you know, hey, as I said, special season, special stories. We just heard from Craig Counsell after the victory here. I agree with him in this regard on the losing game one of a series, and then, you know, you bounce back and you take series. It's coincidence. I don't think there's anything there in terms of, you know, a reset preparation problem or whatever it might be. I'm with Counts on that. You don't even know really what to say. I also 100% I'm with Counsell on, you know, this team isn't clicking on all cylinders, and that's why they can be frustrating at times. It's okay to keep the bar up. They're not perfect. And at 14-9, we may be happy for that, and we should be, probably. Winning series, that's a good thing. But that doesn't mean that it's all sweet. I mean, there are some issues. There's no question. And maybe they pay the price for those issues soon. And maybe not. Maybe they get healthier and get through this little stretch of not playing good offense. Their offense is just not good, guys. It's just, there's a couple guys that are stepping up a little bit and, you know, contributing. And that's the word that he used on Pablo Reyes tonight. That's the key, is you're getting contributions from a lot of different guys. But some of the guys, you're not getting much at all. No, I mean, not at all. Now, I would have loved to have asked Craig Counsell a question that, you know, who else was in consideration for the start tomorrow? That, to me, would have been like, what made you go with Zach Godley? But, you know, maybe we'll find that out in tomorrow's pregame briefing. 799-1250, we'll hear from Tyrone Taylor. A three-hit, three-RBI game. Hit a solo homer tonight. Let's get Todd in here before we hear from Tyrone. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, howdy, boys. Hey, Timmy, yeah, you know, I agree with you 100% about the offense. I think tomorrow is going to be it definitely will not be they're not going to win it with the pitching. They're going to have to win it definitely with the offense. And, you know, with the big boys coming to town here, the Dodgers, you know, I just hope that first game they weren't looking past them to get to the Dodgers. But, you know, the beauty of Tyrone Taylor and Billy McKinney, what I'm kind of thinking about is everyone's expendable. You know, they let Arcia go. And I hope and I pray that when Kane and Yelich get healthy and come back, maybe they got a set, or maybe, you know, maybe it's a JBJ. You know, my personal opinion of him, I don't think he wants to be here. He just doesn't have that vibe. He doesn't want to be in Milwaukee. But I'll tell you what, you know, I know he's got an opt-out in his contract next year, but he better get it together if he wants to make money in the next year. And there's a couple other guys, too. You know, the guys that are impressing me, you know, is Navarez by far. He's impressed the heck out of me. You know, and Avi, you know, he's not playing that great. He's on his last year of his contract. So I hope that they hear the footsteps behind them with the Tyrone Taylor and the Bill McKinney, you know, that that everyone is expendable. And I think that that Stearns is I hope he's reinforced that into these guys' heads that, you know what,
yeah,
we let Arcia go, and he was our fan favorite. We let our boy go, and that didn't break that – that, you know, he just being cold-hearted and letting them go. So if you can let Arcia go, you can let anybody go.
No question. All right, thanks, Todd. I will say this, JBJ, Keston Hira, Avi Garcia. I mean, they're going to heat up. They will. Let's not be fooled about Jackie Bradley Jr. either. He's been known to be a little bit more on the streaky side. And I don't know, we're not in his head. We don't know whether he wants to be here, whether or not Milwaukee was the only offer, the best offer. But he's gonna fit right in, and I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna stay with that, Todd. I see Jackie Bradley Jr. Getting hot, and I see him moving up in the order. I do. Now, Avi Garcia, Keston Hira, they're not going to hit under, you know, this 190 mark, and they're not going to get on base at a 250 clip, and they're going to improve things. Funny how baseball changes, isn't it? This is funny how, and maybe it's just a little bit of an elder statesman in terms of following baseball, but I can recall at one point in my life that we used to view the 241 hitter and we would be like, are you kidding me? That guy sucks. Evan, being a younger dude, there were days, there were years that we'd look at a 239 or 243 and say, man, we'd laugh at those guys. They're no good. These days, Evan, what would you give right now? How many more victories offensively would the Brewers have if JBJ, Avi Garcia, and Keston Hira were merely hitting 250?
Or even 230.
I mean, you're looking at a collective 100 points between the three of them.
I'm still like you where I think, yeah, anything less than 250 is really not great. But as the game has kind of evolved and Moneyball became a thing and people start to look at OPS and on-base percentage, things like that, it changes it a little bit. But Jackie Bradley, for his career, I think he is like a 239, a 240 hitter. And one of the things that's good about, well, it's not good, but one of the things that he brings to the table is his defense. That's, you have to kind of weigh the offense with the defense sometimes. Like, look at Brett Phillips, who we traded for Mike Moustakas, of course. He might be the best defensive center fielder the game has ever seen. He might have the best arm in the outfield ever, but he cannot hit the ball, and they don't play him.
Yep.
Where do you balance that? Does it depend on how much offense you already have in your lineup?
I think so, yes, because then you're afforded the luxury. It's almost like getting a slick fielding shortstop, you know, as 15 years ago, and you just didn't care what he did offensively. You were just fine with it. So it is based upon, you know, collective group of your offense. But, you know, maybe it's to the point now where I won't say lucky. And I think you earn some of these things offensively. And Billy McKinney has worked hard to get where he's at. And guys like Tyrone Taylor clearly have worked hard and had some perseverance going on for the last 7 years to get where he's at. But, you know, some of these other guys where the expectations are there are affected by the roles that they've got right now, Evan. They've got roles where they're supposed to be the Christian Yeliches. They're supposed to be these thump guys right in the middle, the 3-4-5 guys, the 2-3-4-5 hitters. And I'm talking about, you know, the Keston Hiras and Avi Garcias and Travis Shaws, and we expect them to be more than they are. Well, it's not that they're incapable of doing it, but now that they have to be, a little different story, a little different mindset. It's a mental part of it that I think we forget about a little bit. These guys now are expected. You pop Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, and Colton Wong in the same lineup and let those guys run. Let them run, because it's going to drip down into, oh, no, I don't need to hit a three-run homer every time I'm up here if you're Keston Hira. Avi Garcia, I don't need to hit a two-run shot right now. I'm just going to keep the line moving because I got some boppers coming up. That's the big difference here, how not just the two that are missing and the three up until Friday with Colton Wong. It's just not about their lack of production. It's the other guys that feel they have to do too much. I clearly think they're feeling pressure to pick those guys up, and that's affecting them. It is. So that will level off. And so those of you that think, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to hit .172 for a 162-game schedule, that's just not going to happen. That's not happening. There's too much of a track record there, and recent track record with JBJ. He hit, what, 285 last year? Again, things got goofy last year, but just hang in there with the offense. They're going to get healthier, and it may not be immediate results for the guys that just come off the IL. I mean, it'd be nice if everyone came off the IL and hits like Colton Wong. He's on fire. And he, I would assume, be back in that lineup tomorrow. Tyrone Taylor, on the other hand, doing the job for the Brewers. Limited at-bats, but you can tell. Just give it the eye test. You can tell the approach is there. The barrel to ball is there. The results are there. This is rolling good right now. Here's Tyrone Taylor after the Brewers win.
Hey, Tyrone, how sick was that Hauser homer?
That was epic for sure. I've seen him do that. I've seen him do that already, though, so I wasn't surprised by it, but that thing was launched.
Tyrone, I'm pretty sure that was your first career start in the bigs, in the leadoff spot. Did you seek out Colton at all to get a few pointers or, you know, kind of tap his knowledge a little bit for how to do it?
No, I did not, but Colt has helped me a lot with my hitting approach in general lately, and I appreciate him a lot.
Can you go into a little bit of detail on that, like what he specifically has helped you with?
And he's helped me – he's reminded me to use the big part of the field, and even in batting practice, sometimes I fly open with my front shoulder, and he's always there to remind me to keep it closed and work on things like that. Because he's the man at that. If you watch him hit, he's just hitting lasers all over to left field and staying up the middle. Really good hitter.
Do you remember in the minor leagues, did you ever start any games in the leadoff spot or anything, or were you usually like a 2, 3, 4 kind of guy?
When I was like 18, 19, and 20, I let off a good amount.
Tyrone, how good does it feel just to contribute when you're asked? Yeah, well, you don't get to play every day. You know, you don't get that many chances, and you just keep making the most of yours.
Yeah, it feels really good to be able to contribute for the team the way I have recently. It feels nice, and hopefully I just keep it going. Especially to be able to contribute on a game where we win like this, it's cool.
Tyrone, you spent so much time working on your body and getting stronger in the off season. Do you feel a difference now, like the first month? Do you think that has helped you, especially at the plate?
Yeah, definitely. I'm able to take easier swings on pitches, and just being able to do that helps me be in more control with my swing. So it definitely helps.
There he is, Tyrone Taylor. A big night tonight. Knocks in 3 of the Brewers' 5 runs in a 5-4 victory. And hats off to Craig Counsell. Hey, he's the one that sets that lineup. He puts Tyrone Taylor in the leadoff spot. And the results are there. That's pretty cool. You take any offensive output at this point that you can get. I mean, Adrian Hauser, we're going to hear from him after the break, but Adrian Hauser, 5 2/3 of 3-run ball. And I was trying to think how we grade this out. I know a quality start is designed to be kind of a loosely based quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. So 5 2/3, 3 runs, I don't know if you say is it good? I'm not sure. Evan, is a 5 2/3, 3 runs good?
I would say it's above average. It should put you in a good position to win a game, just because 3 runs isn't a ton.
Keeps you in a baseball game. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's fair. It's not the best start in the world, but I would say it's above average.
It's like a 4.7 ERA, just saying.
Okay, that's not as great.
I mean, a quality start is a 4.5 ERA.
Which has always been so weird to me. And now, especially that starters don't go 6 innings, are they going to change what it means to have a quality start?
Yeah, true. I don't know. Is quality start even an official stat?
I think so. I think it depends on where you go, but I believe it is.
Okay, so 5 2/3. Eh, I mean, I'm right there. It's not a bad start. I will go there. But I will say more than anything else, it keeps your team in a baseball game. So that's where I'll go. And with a quality bullpen, I think I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad at all. That's what Adrian Houser did tonight. We'll hear from the Brewers right-hander in just a little while. First, it's Tim Allen talking to you guys about Hyundai of West Allis, as you're going to be amazed at the extraordinary measures taken to provide the safest environment. I know a lot are, well, they're concerned. And I can tell you this, I've been told that Hyundai of West Allis has your safety in mind for sure. No question about it. It's at Hyundai of West Allis this April, meaning now 0% for 60 months and no payments for 90 days. On new 2021 Hyundai Sonatas, Tucsons, Santa Fes, Elantras, and Konas. Get Hyundai Assurance with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. All of this at Hyundai of West Allis, Highway 100, or at HyundaiWestAllis.com, a part of the International Autos Group, where our ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Hyundai of West Allis.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
Yeah, welcome back. Brewers take game two of this three-game set against a what I think is a pretty impressive Miami Marlins team. I like their brand and style of baseball. I do. Maybe that's a derivative of Don Mattingly, but nonetheless, they can get you. They can get you in a hurry, and they can battle you. And that's what tonight was. It was a battle, as a couple of weeks ago was those pesky Pirates, and I think you had a questionable decision by Craig Counsell in that game three of that series, or they'd have won that series also, possibly. But these guys, a little more than pesky. These guys can hurt you. I mean, Dickerson has, for the times that he has faced the Brewers, he's been kind of a Brewer killer. Garrett Cooper. I mean, same deal. I'm just wondering, Jesus Aguilar, we know about Zeus. He likes to go middle and away, right? We're all well aware of that. And I just wonder where the strategy is with an 0-2 pitch. If you're going to go low and away, he knows it's going low and away. You just leave it up a little bit, and he's gonna hurt you. And I just wonder why you wouldn't go up and in on 0-2, or just get nowhere near the strike zone, nowhere near on 0-2. And there was an 0-2 sack fly there that kind of hurt the Brewers early in this one. Adrian Houser, all told, 5 1/3, just gives up the 3 runs, keeps his team in a ball game, and the offense just pecking away. The Marlins go up, Brewers tied at 1 on the Houser home run, and Taylor goes back-to-back. They're up 2-1. They go back even 2-2. They go back up 3-2. It's back to even 3-3. And they finally get a little insurance after going up 4-3. They go up 5-3. And luckily, the cushion kind of held right there as the Marlins battle back for a run and a final of 5-4. 7 strikeouts for Adrian Houser, his deepest run of the season in his 5 starts. And he's hanging in there. I think he's pretty key, guys. I said this before the season started, that, you know, the third base position, and again, this is all pre-injuries, the third base position and Adrian Houser were key. And Adrian Houser so far has been, you know, I won't say bad. You can't say he's been bad. He's been decent. But there's a lot of ceiling left with Adrian Houser. So 5 2/3 for now, 3 runs. We'll take that as the Brewers get the win. Let's hear from the Brewers right-hander after his victory.
Adrian, tell us what it felt like to hit your first major league home run.
It was pretty awesome, you know. To be honest, I didn't know where it went off the bat. I know I hit it really hard. Just, you know, felt really good. Felt like a good swing. Just didn't know where it went. And then when I looked up, the lights started going out. And so I was like, oh, home run.
Adrian, you hit one in AAA, right?
Yes, I did.
You remember the pitcher offhand? Was it a guy who made it to the majors?
No, I can't remember exactly. I know it was against the Cubs in Iowa.
Adrian, what's the best thing you heard in the dugout when you got back? Did Wood over and say anything, Mr. Slugger himself?
No, just everybody saying good job. Heck yeah, you know, it was a pretty cool moment. So it was pretty nice to be able to contribute to the team that way.
Was it hard to settle down after that, Adrian? Like, were you pretty amped up, or was it easy to get back on the mound?
Yeah, I was pretty amped up there, you know, when I got back in the dugout and, you know, trying to calm down. And luckily, you know, Tyrone got the hit another home run, and then Omar hit that double. So, you know, I had a little time there to kind of settle back down and get my breath under control and, you know, kind of slow my heart rate down. So that helped out a lot for sure.
Adrian, you contributed on the other end of the spectrum too with a bunt. You know, a success bunt and a home run. That's like both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, the complete opposite ends.
But I mean that's part of your job, right? I don't mean the home run, the bunt. I mean just helping out. I mean, you guys are missing a lot of people now. It's all hands on deck, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, whatever we can do to help out, and you know, that's in that position on that bunt, you know, had to get a job down there. And so, you know, I was happy to get the bunt down there and move the guys over. You know, we got a run out of it, so it definitely helps.
Adrian, do you consider yourself a decent hitter?
As Murph says it, we suck. We're not hitters. We're pitchers.
Don't let Murph get you down now. Hey, Adrian, what about your pitch? You know, I was looking back over your innings, probably the 0-2 pitch he's the only one you want back, right? You threw the ball pretty good.
Yeah, you know, just the slider, I didn't really get all the way out there. You know, it was a good pitch, but, you know, Aggie's a good hitter, and he put a good swing on it and, you know, hit it how he should. So, you know, just, you know, thought it was a good pitch, just didn't get it where I wanted to.
Anybody else for Adrian?
Adrian,
right,
thanks, what Adrian. About the 7Ks? That was yours. Hi, what was working for you there? Because you're usually a pitch-to-contact guy, but tonight you're whiffing guys.
You know, I think it was just the mix that we had going. You know, I think Omar and I have been working pretty well this season, and we've been able to mix in the two-seam and the four-seam and, you know, just off-speed here and there. You know, I think we've just been having a really good mix and keeping guys off balance for the most part.
I agree there, but I also say that it's the Miami Marlins being aggressive at times and trying to go right at Adrian Houser. So a couple of things going there. 7 strikeouts, 3 runs over 5 2/3 innings pitch for the Brewers right-hander, and the Brewers get a victory. They're 14-9 here early on in the 2021 championship season. Hanging in there, you heard one of the reporters say all hands on deck. That certainly is the case here. Anything you can get offensively is a bonus here until they get those guys back. We'll take a break. Take a look at the NL Central scoreboard here on a Tuesday night and set you up with the matchup tomorrow, 12:40, first pitch, as the Brewers and Marlins play the rubber game of this 3-game set. We'll be back on 12:50 a.m. The Fan.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
Final couple of minutes here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Here on 12:50 a.m. The Fan, it's an Odyssey station. Brewers get the win, 5-4 the final, and it does set up yet another rubber match here in the challenging, at least offensively challenged situation that the Brewers have right now. And
they will hit the ball better. There's going to be a run that this offense gets on. You just need to get to that point. And now it'd be nice if we had the ability to point out when that is, but we just don't. And so you just – every situation is big. And that's the way I'm looking at this. I don't know about how you guys watch Brewers baseball here this year. It's a little bit different here this year because of the wicked starting pitching that you've got. So I look at it a little bit different than most years. You know, a lot of times it would be, you know, three zip, the other guys, and I'd be like, yeah, that's no problem. There's still plenty of game left. It's only the third inning, and sooner or later you can break through and you're going to get some guys on in one swing and et cetera, et cetera. This year a little bit different. I look at a five-zip, four-zip deficit as sort of this nail-in-the-coffin sort of thing. And I hate to do that, but it's just this offense, it's tough. Now, if you do peck away and just stay in games, I feel, and we all should feel pretty damn confident, the bullpen is starting to take shape, guys. It is. I think you're seeing Devin Williams step back into that eighth-inning role, and you've shortened the game with the advent of J.P. Feireisen. And what he has done this year, I see no reason why this shouldn't continue with J.P. Feireisen, Devin Williams, and Josh Hader. And if that's the case, your game is shortened to six innings. Now, there will be a time here. They're in a stretch of 17 consecutive games. They're five games into that 17 games in 17 days. So there may be a time where someone's got to take one on the chin here, in which, you know, Williams and Hader not available. You're going to have to go with Rasmussen or Perdomo and some of these other guys that, you know, quite frankly, might get beat up on a little bit. Hopefully not. But you may see one get away from you in that bullpen. And, you know, for the greater good of more games, I think you'd take that. It's not gonna say that it doesn't hurt as much, but it's just the reality of it is Hader, Williams, and Feireisen can't pitch every day. I mean, this thing was set up by just enough offense, starting pitching that got you mid-game, and then Suter, Feireisen, Williams, and Hader. And that bodes well as the season progresses here. And it bodes well, we'll see about this Dodgers series. Prior to the Chicago series, we had talked about this. If you can go 4-2 in those six games, Cubs, Marlins, it does set up a pretty enjoyable and entertaining test at home here at American Family Field in a four-game set against the Dodgers. So one game, that's tomorrow, and it sets you up with a victory with that 4-2 mark. Now you've held serve there. Hopefully you can get a little bit healthier. Maybe there's spring of Lorenzo Cain or something on us that, you know, maybe there's some activation. But a 4-2 mark puts you at 15-9 heading into that series on Thursday. Four-gamer against the Dodgers. But you got to win tomorrow. And on the mound for the crew, making his Brewers Major League debut, Zach Godley. They signed him, as Evan looked up, March 19th. And so he's been a property of the Milwaukee Brewers since then. And maybe balls out and goes 6 1/3 and just shuts them down. We'll see. Let's take a look at that matchup. Zach Godley, we know it's 0-0 and a 0 ERA. Opposite who for the Miami Marlins, Evan?
Going up against their phenom, Sandy Alcantara, who on the year...
He's tough.
In five starts, he has a 3.34 ERA, yeah. Whip around one, but is 0-2 on the season, so he's looking for his first win.
Yeah, he's tough, and this is about trying to get to him early. For that reason, just to get to him and get him out of the game. But the other reason would be then your offense is actually doing... Wait a second, they're doing something? Okay, we'll take that too. That's a tough customer on the other side there. At tomorrow's first pitch. NL Central scores. The Cubs were getting beat pretty good late. Did that hold, Evan?
It did. They got blanked by the Braves 5-0 in Atlanta. The Cardinals beat the Phillies 5-2. Earlier tonight, the Pittsburgh Pirates beat Kansas City 2-1. So those Pirates continue to beat some really good teams. We might need to start actually taking a look at them seriously. And right now I have it on in the studio. The Reds are in Los Angeles taking on the Dodgers. This has been a phenomenal game. The Reds just took the lead in the top of the seventh, 6-5 as we head into the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, just tap into that Dodger bullpen as much as possible between tonight and tomorrow. Just continue to work those arms, and maybe they'll be a little more erratic starting on Thursday. All right, that's going to do it for us. Evan, nice job tonight. I wish you could work more with me and then work with Rami too, right? You could do both.
Listen, I would live at this studio if they let me. Of course, if I didn't have to pay rent.
No, I think you'd get a good deal, though.
I'll just sleep on the couch we have here. We have bathrooms. I can give myself a shower there.
Yeah, I've slept on that couch over there. It's it can be good and bad.
It's better than nothing.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's better than the floor, but yeah, it there's some wild stuff that goes on at a radio station. That couch is probably not something you want to go near these days. All right, that's going to do it. After the last pitch tomorrow, make the switch. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. For Evan Heffelfinger, that is his name, by the way. It's his real name. My name is Tim Allen. You guys enjoy the win tonight, and we'll talk to you after the ball game tomorrow. And as always, remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.